In the holy name of Jesus, amen. No matter the media, people love stories. Books, TV shows, movies, or grandpa's mouth. We all love a good story. And not even just fictional stories, but real stories too. Some of the best stories are the real ones. Because not only do they inform and shape our lives, but we're a part of the story too. Let me tell you our story. Our story begins in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. Now, there are many questions surrounding Genesis 1. Is the earth young or old? Did God use evolution to create the world? I can't convince you of anything. I'm just here to tell you what I've been given. And what I've been given is God's word. And he says he created the world in 6 days. Though difficult to understand, we take God's word for it. Just like some other miraculous things he says. Like Jesus rose from the dead after being crucified. Eucharistic bread and wine are his body and his blood. Jesus is God, yet he is man. Jesus, a person, is the Word of God. We're sinners, yet forgiven in Christ. Those are God's words, however incomprehensible they might be. But back to our story. God teaches lots of things from Genesis chapter 1. We learn that God ordered time, that there's a plurality of God in Genesis 1 verse 26 when he says, "Let us make man in our image," indicating that God is triune. We learn that God created marriage between man and a woman, that God gave us creation to rule and have dominion over, and that we should be good stewards of what God has given. We learn that everything God created was good, meaning humanity hasn't screwed everything up in the story yet. We learn that God creates the Sabbath rest. We learn that humanity is the climax of all of God's creation. Why? Because we are made in his image, meaning we reflect him. But in what way? Well, we learn something very important about God from his creation. He is a loving, self-giving God. Within himself, the Father loves the Son loves the Father, and the Holy Spirit is an agent, an actor of their love. There's divine bliss within God himself. Yet, he creates with his word and gives it all to his beloved who share his image and likeness. So in the beginning, Adam and Eve had it all. They had any and every fruit to eat. Their relationship with God wasn't strained or filled with fear. God provided perfection for them. But this beautiful part of the story takes a dark turn quickly. Adam and Eve fall prey to Satan's question, "Did God really say?" He asks Eve, "Did God really say you would die if you ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? If you eat it, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. How great is that?" But it's not great. Many individual gods asserting their will over one another is chaotic and ugly. Haven't you heard any of the Greek myths? Or any politicians speak lately? We'd rather be in our own image than in God's image. And when we get away from God's image, we lose that integral part of creation, self-giving love in a life of service. This self-giving love is how we were supposed to exercise our God-given rule and dominion. Instead, we've replaced the light with darkness and addicted ourselves to selfish curiosity in rebellion. That's Adam and Eve's story. And God cast them out of the Garden of Eden, not because he's vindictive and mean, but because man has cast himself out of the garden by rebelling against the Word of God. And this Word of God was not overbearing. It was one simple command: don't eat of that tree. But he also says, look at everything else that I've given you. But Adam and Eve's eyes were blinded to the glorious abundance God had given them, and their eyes fixated on one thing: the pursuit of their own godliness. And that's our story too. We all too often cast ourselves outside God's paradise. We rebel against God's simple commands. We indulge ourselves in sins and convince ourselves that it's okay to take a little nibble from the forbidden tree. And that's where the Genesis story leaves us. But remember at the beginning of the story, when I mentioned that we learn a very important thing about God, we learned about God's self-giving love. He never stops that. The Old Testament story essentially goes like this: God's people rebel against God's word. God sends someone to pull his people back into his word, and they oblige. But maybe for only a generation or two, then God's people are back to rebellion and worship of self, replacing the image of God in them with their own image. God knew this would happen. He knew humanity just wanted to be their own, without a creator telling them what to do or who they were. But they wanted to write their own story. But folks, we've gotten it all wrong. There's only one true story in all of creation. All other stories are products of our own godless imaginations. And we see this story played out in the gospel lesson today. Not only does God create the world with words, let there be light, but he restores us back to him with words too. In the gospel lesson, Jesus says to an official who begs Jesus to heal his son, "Go, your son will live." And by Jesus' word, this man's son was healed. What kind of person heals with words? Well, John 1, verses 1 through 5 can answer that question. And it starts in the beginning. John 1, verse 1 starts in the beginning. Sound familiar? John draws attention to the fact that Jesus was there in Genesis chapter 1. Going on with John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." God heals with a word that is spoken, but also incarnate. The Genesis 1 God from the beginning of the story becomes man. And he still works with words. But instead of starting over by creating new things with his word, God uses his word to recreate, to renew, to heal. God doesn't abandon fallen humanity. He doesn't abandon you. Remember, he's a self-giving, loving God. He gives himself up to men. His perfect image of God rules and reigns on earth through selfless service, renewing, recreating, and healing the world. Embodying the image of God, Jesus is subjected to the image of men who use their rule and reign to kill. They replace the image of God in them with an image of themselves. So they brutally beat God. They crowned God with thorns. They mocked God, saying, "If you're truly the Son of God, come down from the cross." They nailed God's hands and feet to a tree and raised him up on a pole for everyone to see. But what they raised as a trophy to the world is the same thing Adam and Eve raised as a trophy in the Garden of Eden. And we often hoist the same mistake. Rebellion. But through our rebellion of God and through Jesus' crucifixion, God has one last word to heal humanity. He says from his uncomfortable throne, that is, his cross, "It is finished." And it is. It finally is. God has reconciled humanity back to himself through the cross. Our selfless, self-giving God has completed his act of love to turn humanity back to a Garden of Eden existence. He gives his Son in his obedience to fulfill all godliness, and he restores the image of God in us through his Son. Having restored this image of God, we now reign and rule how God does, with love, self-service, and a healing word like, "I forgive you." This is our story. Our story doesn't exist without the death and resurrection of Jesus. No one's story exists without the death and resurrection of Jesus. Though this great news of Jesus' death to restore the image of God and forgive our sin is the climax of our story, we've still got more to go. Though our story is finished, because Jesus says it is, it's not quite done. Now comes the hard part. Living life where we have God's image, not our own. Living as a creature of the true living God in a life of service and love. The hardest part is giving up ourselves for the sake of others. But that's what it means to have the image of God. But God doesn't leave us to our own devices. He gives us the whole armor of God, as our epistle reading points out. He defends us against the attacks from the tempter who constantly nags, saying, "Did God really say?" The word of God protects us from all Satan's accusations. And that's how the story goes. No matter how tough the accusations are against us, or no matter how tempting it is to replace the image of God with the image of self, our God is here fighting for us. He fights the satanic foe with his word. His word is read from the lectern. His word is made flesh and blood and put on our tongues and poured down our throats. His own name, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is placed on our foreheads to repel the darkness. And when our earthly struggles end, God will fully restore his image to us again as we enter the Garden of Eden like heavenly paradise. This story is yours, whether you believe it or not. The story of creation, redemption, sanctification is yours. May the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit keep reminding us that He's always working to give Himself to us so that His image may be restored. In the holy name of Jesus, Amen.